Listen to me. Listen carefully to my voice. You are standing on a footbridge, suspended high above a river gorge. You are standing in the middle of the bridge, halfway across. There are no handrails. There is nothing to hold on to. There is only the bridge itself. You can feel the bridge swaying under your feet, swaying very slightly. Do you feel it?
Yes.
Good. Now, listen to my voice. Listen only to the sound of my voice. You are not afraid. You feel quite relaxed, even though you are very, very high above the ground. Feel the bridge swaying under your feet. Do you feel it?
Yes.
As you are standing on the bridge begins to grow narrower. It is shrinking. It was 4 feet wide. Now it is 3 feet wide. Now it is 2 feet wide. Now 1 foot. Now it is only 6 inches wide. Just barely wide enough for your feet to stand on. You are not nervous. You feel completely relaxed. You know, as long as you remain perfectly still and perfectly rigid, you will not fall. To maintain your balance, you must remain rigid. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you feel afraid?
No.
That's right. You are not afraid. You feel quite comfortable, even though the river is far, far below you. Now, as you are standing on the footbridge, a wind begins to blow. A gentle breeze. You can feel it through your hair. Feel it pressing against the back of your dress. Feel it touching your legs. Feel the wind. Do you feel it?
Yes.
The wind is blowing steadily at your back. Now it begins to blow a little harder, with a little more force. Gradually, the velocity of the wind is increasing. With every second, you can feel it growing steadily stronger and stronger. You realize that to maintain your balance, you must now lean against the wind. You must lean backwards, but you must also keep yourself rigid. Go ahead now. Yes. Pay attention to my voice. Listen only to the sound of my voice. The pressure of the wind is very strong now. It is almost like a hurricane. Keeping yourself absolutely rigid, you must lean back further and further. Keep leaning back. All the way back. All the way. All the way. Very good.
Good evening, and welcome once again to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. Tonight we present an entirely different sort of radio mystery, a taut psychological thriller entitled The Hypnotist. Listen now, as the hypnotist leads us into the twilight realm of the subconscious mind, into that mysterious and murky domain where the real and the surreal coexist, where the past mingles with the present, and where the specter of terror, once encountered, presents itself in its purest, most elemental form.
Listen to my voice. Listen only to the sound of my voice.
was Dr. Rubin.
He's out there again.
Who are you talking about?
She's unconscious.
How long?
Since they brought her in.
Your girlfriends are.
Name is Karen Jeffries. Just graduated from college.
He's out there. He's out there again.
Police officer.
You'd better wait outside.
Don't struggle. I won't hurt you. You struggle, I'll kill you.
Pupils responding to light.
Pulse 62. Blood pressure 130 over 8.
Okay, let's get an IV going.
She was this way when we found her.
He's out there again.
What's up with him? Dr. Lyons, 190, Dr. Lyons.
Mommy.
Miss Jeffries.
Your girlfriends are.
Miss Jeffries, can you hear me?
He's out there.
Don't worry. I've got them safely tucked away.
Respiration is low. Vital signs maintaining. No evidence of brain injury. Miss Jeffries, can you hear me?
She was this way when we found her.
Nurse?
I want the vital signs monitored continually. We need to work up some data and quickly.
Nurse? Mommy!
Four girls in a rooming house. She's the only one left alive.
Let me know immediately if she starts coming around.
He's out there again.
There's always a possibility she may slip into shock. Miss Jeffries. Miss Jeffries, can you hear me? Miss Jeffries.
He's out there again.
Miss Jeffries.
He's out there.
Mommy.
Miss Jeffries. Miss Jeffries, can you hear me?
He's out there.
You're wondering where your girlfriends are.
Let me know immediately if she starts coming around. There's always a possibility she may slip into shock.
Lyons, contact the nurse's station, Dr. Lyons.
Four girls in a rooming house. She's the only one left alive.
He's out there.
You're wondering where your girlfriends are.
Miss Jeffries.
Last week, we began by examining the concept of evil as embodied in the words of writers like Robert Louis Stevenson, Edgar Allan Poe, H.G. Wells.
The neural pathways to the brain appear to be functioning.
We've gone over the house upstairs and down. So far, we haven't come up with one iota of physical evidence.
A cataleptic state induced by deep psychological trauma.
We've canvassed the neighborhood. Nobody saw him. Nobody has any idea who he is.
Implying that an investigation into the dark side of human nature carries with it its own risk.
As you know, there are many forms of coma. Apoplectic coma, metabolic coma, comas brought on by alcoholism, diabetic acidosis, and uremic poisoning. Of course, there is also what is known as a trance coma.
The duality of the human mind. The right hemisphere and the left hemisphere.
We've questioned all their old boyfriends and crossed every one of them off the list.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
In Karen's case, her lack of responsiveness is not due to any metabolic dysfunction, nor is there any apparent damage from her brain or brain stem.
Who postulates that evil is no more than goodness gone berserk.
Her EEG readouts oscillate between 3 and 7 cycles per second. She spends most of her time in theta and delta, with an occasional touch-up into alpha.
The universal mind, the northern hemisphere, and the southern hemisphere.
At this point, she's our only lead, the only one who knows who he is, the only one who can possibly identify him.
The mind has many ways of dealing with stress.
Right now, her mind is protecting her from the experience. When she regains consciousness, she will have to deal with the reality of what she went through.
To study it requires that we examine it. To examine it is to look upon it directly. To look upon it directly is to risk being possessed by its evil power.
How long before we can talk to her?
Impossible to say. She still has to regain consciousness. Even then, it may be too much to risk allowing you to question her.
Like a Medusa, to examine it, one must do so obliquely.
Well, that's a risk we're going to have to take. You can't afford to let this guy keep running around loose.
I can't be concerned about that. Right now, I'm concerned about her recovery.
Fine. And while you're worrying about that, Doctor, think about this. Right now, he's out there somewhere. He may be looking for other women to do the same thing to. Only this time, maybe it'll be your wife or your daughter.
A universal horror. Uncanny and uncontrollable. It rises in a paroxysm of sensitivity like the epileptic fit that arches the back, clenches the teeth, and sends the tongue to fall lifeless into the throat of its victim.
He's out there again.
An amorphous shape, moving within a swirling black cloud. The dark side of the moon.
Talking about?
Haven't noticed. Come on. Look down there. He's sitting in his car. Be careful. See you.
Who is he?
I don't know. I
have
seen him.
If nobody knows who he is, maybe we should call the police. Perhaps one of us should go out and get his license number.
So go ahead.
Why me?
It was your idea.
Yeah, but you saw him first, Gail. Look, he's probably harmless, right? But then why are we both acting like we're afraid of him?
If he's out there again tomorrow, I am calling the
This is Dr. Reed. Dr. Reed is a psychiatrist. He's also an expert in clinical hypnosis.
Hello, Sydney.
Oh, I didn't realize that you two already knew each other.
Sure. I know Dr. Reed. We've used him on a number of cases. Every time we had a witness whose memory was a little vague. Of course, that was before the court said no to hypnosis. Now the only thing they let you use hypnosis for are psychiatric evaluations at Bridgewater. Isn't that right, Doc?
Dr. Reed is going to try hypnotizing our patient.
What? Are you crazy? You can't do that. You'll destroy her value as a witness.
I'm not interested in her value as a witness. I'm interested in her recovery.
Wait a minute. You don't understand. Once she's been hypnotized, she's worthless. The courts won't allow her to testify.
Relax, Sydney. We're going about it differently this time. We're not going to hypnotize her. Just the opposite. She's already in a trance state. We are simply using the techniques of hypnosis to try and bring her out of it. You want her conscious again, don't you?
How are we doing today? Still not talking? That's all right. You just relax. We're going to take good care of you. Now, I'm just going to roll you over.
Patient room 7?
No. Is it missing?
It's not where it should be.
Probably one of the doctors walked off with it. They're always doing that.
Yeah, I know.
How are you doing?
Terrible. Pat felt sick and had to go home. I've been rushing around like crazy. All the patients on her wing were late getting their meds. How's she doing?
Oh, the same.
You know, Sharon down at admitting said a man stopped by and asked about her condition. He also wanted to know what room she was in.
Did she tell him?
Well, no, she didn't. She said she wasn't permitted to give out any information.
Did he leave his name?
No, but that's not unusual.
Did Sharon tell the police?
No.
She should have. After all, that's the reason they've got a guard stationed outside this door.
Well, it's probably too late. I'll tell her if it happens.
Better tell her to report it anyway. They'll probably want a description.
Okay, I'll tell her. Sure hope they catch that guy.
You're not kidding. Normally, I'm against capital punishment, but after what he did to those four girls, I'd be willing to take him out and shoot him myself.
Marsha Frazier got married last week.
Yes, I heard.
She's 3 years younger than you, you know. Come back, dear. You're not lost. Come back.
Mommy.
I don't understand you. When there are so many nice, eligible young men who are interested in you.
Mother, that doesn't mean I'm interested in them.
Is she going to recover?
You have to understand. She expected she was going to die. She would have if something had not frightened the killer off.
I have to be in love first.
When is that going to happen?
Don't worry, I'll let you know.
I'm right here, but you don't even know it.
Mommy!
Knowing with certainty that you are about to be murdered is one of the most stressful situations the mind can endure.
Karen, I'll be back tomorrow.
Move the lamp closer to her bed. A little closer. I want it shining down on her. That's good. Thank you very much. Karen, if you can hear me, listen to my voice. Listen to me, Karen. Pay attention to my voice. Listen and concentrate on my voice. Picture, if you can, a beautiful mountain lake. You are standing on a floating platform out in the middle of the lake. The water in the lake is perfectly clear and perfectly calm. As you look down, you can see straight through the water to the pebbles on the bottom. Look at the pebbles, Karen. The water is so clear, so perfectly transparent. You feel as if you're floating on air. Look at the pebbles. Now, as you look in front of you, you can see white, billowy clouds drifting overhead. Their images are reflected across the surface of the water. Look at the clouds, Karen. Watch the clouds. As you continue to watch them, you begin to feel as though you are one of these clouds, weightless, floating, completely relaxed, totally at peace. Feel yourself floating. Now, you begin to feel yourself drifting upwards through the clouds. You are rising towards the sun. Already, you can feel the sunlight warm on your skin. Feel the sun and relax. Now, I am going to count to three. When I reach the number three, you will have broken through the clouds. You will then open your eyes. You will be awake and feeling fine. One. Feel yourself continuing to drift upwards, moving towards the light. Two. You are coming into consciousness now. The clouds are thinning out. Three. You have broken through. Open your eyes, Karen. Karen, listen to me. Open your eyes.
Doctor?
Nothing. No response. We'll try again later.
An amorphous shape, moving within a swirling black cloud.
Me. I just called to tell you I'm going to be here a little while longer. No change. I don't know. They say keep talking to her. Keep her stimulated. Do you want me to pick up anything from the store? Oh, you heard from the police? Oh, what did they say? No, I didn't think so either. All right. I'll try not to be too long.
Five days. And you seem as distant as ever. Why are you so determined not to be aroused? Karen, you have to come out sometime. You know, you may find this hard to believe, but I feel I already know you. Ironic, isn't it? Me, the hypnotist. And yet I feel as though I'm the one who's been hypnotized. Sleeping Beauty casts a spell even as she sleeps. Come out, Karen. Come out and let me prove to you that not all men are like that.
Like moving inside a dream. Standing in front of a door that swings inward, a man is waiting to take my ticket. His face is hidden inside a dark wind that swirls round and round his head. I hand him my ticket. He stamps it and hands it back, saying,
"Be careful. You may never find your way out."
The rooms are like rooms in a boarding house. The house is like a maze. One room leads to another, endless, convoluted and twisting. I seem to be looking for someone. I can't quite remember who. All I know is that I keep searching, moving from room to room, always with the feeling that someone was just here. Upstairs, I hear a shower running. I can feel myself moving in the direction of the sound. I feel my hand slide along the rail. Bathroom is at the end of the hall. I see a bright light shining out from under the door. I knock. There is no answer. Open the door.
Someone in the shower? Hello?
Everything in the room is completely white. The fixtures are white. The walls, the floor, the ceiling are all white. The air is filled with steam. The walls are slippery.
Gail? Laurie? Who's in here?
With my hand, I reach out and draw back the plastic shower curtain. But there is no one.
Where did everybody go?
I turn around and face the mirror above the sink. With my hand, I reach out and wipe away the steam. Suddenly, behind me, there's a woman standing beneath the shower head. She's like a Greek statue. Her face is alabaster. Her lips are without color. Her eyes have no pupils. As the water rushes down, her face is slowly dissolving, slowly washing away. I hear a man's footsteps coming up the stairs. I try to run. I can't move. I'm like a statue myself.
Don't struggle. I won't hurt you. Struggle, I'll kill you. You're wondering where your girlfriends are. You're wondering what's become of them. Don't worry. I've got them safely tucked away. You'll be joining them very soon.
Listen to me, Karen. I'm going to say goodnight now. Before I go, I want to give you a small meditation. Listen to me. I'm going to teach you my favorite way of flying. Listen to me now. Listen. I want you to imagine yourself in an open field on a hillside that lets you see all of the sky. On a beautiful sunny day, with the sky a deep, fathomless blue, with white billowy clouds floating on the air very high above you. As you look at the clouds, as you watch them, keep looking, keep watching the clouds. You feel your body begin to leave the earth, moving upwards. Keep watching the clouds. Don't look at anything but the clouds. You are flying now. You are up in the clouds. You feel happy. So happy. Happier than you have ever felt before.
Visiting hours are now over. The hospital requests that all visitors please observe this rule. Visiting hours will resume again tomorrow at 11 a.m. Visiting hours are now over.
Hello? That's right. This is Miss Jeffries' room. Officer Murphy. What? Are you sure? He asked for her by name? Is he still there? Yes. Yes, definitely. Can you hold him? Yes, I'm coming right down. Where are you now? Which entrance? All right, keep him there. Don't let him get away. Use force if you have to. I'm coming.
Where's the guard who's supposed to be outside this door?
Gee, I don't know. There was no one here when I came out.
That still doesn't tell me who you are. Who gave you permission to be in here?
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm her cousin. I thought...
Did you report to the nurse's station?
No. Was I supposed to?
They would have told you no one is being allowed in to see her.
I thought if I just sat by her bedside...
I'm afraid not. She's not to be disturbed.
Wait a minute. What's the matter?
Her pulse is racing.
What's that mean? She's not going to die, is she?
She may be coming out of it, or she may be slipping deeper into a coma. I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave.
All right, doctor.
And call a nurse on your way out.
All right, I'll go do that. Now, that's right. I've got a nice white coat. And guess what else I've got? A syringe. A hypodermic needle. We're going to play doctor. I'm gonna roll up your sleeve and give you a tiny little injection. But don't worry. There'll be nothing in it. Nothing but air.
Oh, sorry, Doctor. I didn't mean to barge in.
That's all right.
I don't think we've met. My name is Alan Reed. I've been working with Miss Jeffries using hypnosis.
Yes, I've heard.
I know it's a bit late, but I thought I would come in and work with her some more. How's she doing?
She seems to be holding her own. I was just checking on her myself.
Why is her heart beating like that?
It's not unexpected. However, I was just about to give her an injection, something to calm her down.
Dr. Morgan, report to ICU. Dr. Morgan.
What happened to the guard outside the door?
Oh, he stepped down the hallway to the bathroom a few minutes ago. He said he would be coming right back.
Dr. Morgan, ICU. Dr. Morgan, staff.
That's you, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
Aren't you Dr. Morgan? It does say so on your coat.
Oh, Yes.
You're wanted in ICU.
Yes, of course. Just as soon as I finish with this injection. Wait a minute. Wait! Riding inside an elevator. Listen to me, Karen. Listen to me. You are riding inside an elevator. Above the doors are numbers that light up to tell you what floor you're on. Look at the numbers, Karen. Look up and see them. In front of you, you see a row of buttons. Numbers 1 through 12. You want to go to the top floor. Push the button. Push number 12. Me, Karen. The elevator will take you up, but you must push the button. See it with your mind. Now, reach out and push the button. Do it now, Karen. Push the button. Now. Very good. Very good. You did it. Now, feel as the elevator begins to move. You are going up. Watch the numbers as they light up. Number 1. Number 2. Number 3. Feel yourself rising. Number 4. Number 5. Moving towards the surface. Number 6. Number 7. Number 8. Feel the elevator moving. Extra weight of gravity as you travel upwards. Number 9. Number 10. Listen to me, Karen. Concentrate. Keep watching the numbers. You have passed the 10th floor. When you reach the 12th floor, the elevator door will open. You will then open your eyes. You will be awake and feeling fine. You will be awake and fully conscious. Number 11. Now, the elevator is slowing down. You are almost there. The elevator is arriving. Number 12. You did it. You opened them.
Yes.
Do you know where you are?
In a hospital?
That's right.
But why am I here?
Don't you remember?
No.
Good. Don't try to remember now. It's not important.
Are you a doctor?
I'm a psychiatrist.
Is that what I mean? A psychiatrist?
Possibly. However, I'm afraid even if you don't need one, you're still going to have to talk to me. You see, up to now, I've been doing all the talking. If you know anything about psychiatrists, you know we're never comfortable talking. We much prefer to listen.
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of The Hypnotist. Tonight's program was produced by Stephen Oney and Mark Birmingham. Written and directed by Stephen Oney, engineering and original music by Mark Birmingham. The actors in tonight's play, Neil McGarry, the hypnotist, Debbie Oney was Karen Jeffries. Kevin Grappi, Dr. Rubin. Bill Dane was the killer. Jeff Kamish, Dr. Morgan. Mary B. Jones, the mother. Sean Herlihy was Officer Murphy. Carol McManus, Nurse Number 1. Christy Weimar, Nurse Number 2. Jack Brady, the detective. Robert Nolan, the professor. Wendy Iwanski was Gail and the voice on the intercom. Additional voices supplied by Mark Birmingham, Christy Weimar, and Carol McManus. The Hypnotist was recorded at Rosemead Production Studio and is copyrighted by Stephen Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. All rights, including rights for broadcast and reproduction, are reserved. This program is made possible with the cooperation of the Public Media Foundation. This is Bob Nolan wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.